Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is John Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge on this Monday. I do want to remind everybody that you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key out of Newton, Georgia. I hope that everybody had a great weekend. Episode 427 on this first day of August. I can't believe high school football is 18 days away. The kids are going back to school this week. It's exciting. We've turned the calendar, and now we can talk high school football. We've got a great show for you. The Columbus Lions and the Columbus Chattahoots seasons abruptly come to an end. But it's not all gloom and doom. The Braves did get a sweep over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Deebo Samuel gets his contract. We will find out what will happen to Deshaun Watson. Will he get suspended for an entire season? And we look back at the life and legacy of one of the greatest champions of all time, Bill Russell. I've got on the show WTVM sports director Jonathan Hoppe. Now, the reason why this is a very important guest, because I'm going to start lining up guests that are media personalities in the city of Columbus so we could talk nothing but high school football. Last weekend, I revealed my rankings for East Alabama and West Georgia, and I got a lot of criticism, but I also got a lot of praise. It's a double-edged sword. I got a lot of followers from Twitter, mainly high school coaches, players. As a play-by-play announcer for Russell County and some Smith Station games, I feel like that is enough to give me credibility to where I can put out a rankings. I'm interested to see if anybody agrees with the rankings. It's pretty simple. Over in Georgia, and we're talking about just Chattahoochee Valley high school teams. Carver is clearly the number one team in Georgia. Central, clearly the number one team in Alabama. Both teams are on a collision course to make a huge state playoff run. Right behind Carver is number two, Callaway. Callaway went to the Final Four last year. I think that Callaway has a very strong team, and they can make a state championship run in AA. And right behind Callaway, I have really a flip-flop between LaGrange and Troup County. I hope to have Troup County head coach Tanner Glisson on the show this week as they have got a big schedule. I actually put up a poll on my Twitter. What should be the high school game of the week for the week of August the 19th? That is technically week one. I know some schools are having their scrimmages on August the 12th, but week one is August 18th, 19th. That Thursday night, we're kicking things off. Smith Station is hosting LaGrange. You got Carver taking on Hardaway. You have St. Ampicelli taking on Glenwood. And you have Troup County taking on Harris County. You could vote on my Twitter page. What should be the high school game of the week? Also to include Callaway and Opelika. So what should be the high school game of the week? Callaway and Opelika right now is currently leading the poll. You got Glenwood, St. Ampicelli's. You have Carver and Hardaway, and then you have Troup County and Harris County. So it should be fun. All right, it wasn't fun this weekend for the Columbus Lions. I actually went to the watch party. That was a tough one. And they were up 10-0. Carolina just went for the onside kick. They got another onside kick recovery, and Columbus could not make the comeback. And Carolina advances to the NAL championship. This week, I'm going to do my recap show for the Columbus Lions. I plan on having Zach Kelman on the show along with Jared Dillard as we will recap the Columbus Lions season, preview the NAL championship between Carolina and Albany, and pick some awards. I think that's going to be fun to see who wins MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. Iron Man Player of the Year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to get him on the show. It will air this week. All right, so it was a very tough weekend. Columbus falls to Carolina. I went to the watch party. I was scrolling on my phone, checking out the Columbus Chattahoots. They dropped two tough games to the Atlanta Crackers. Friday night at Golden Park, they lose 4-2, a pitching matchup. In both games, Atlanta came right out the gate and scored runs early in the first inning. And even though Columbus's pitching held serve and did not allow any more runs, they could not get the bats going, and the Chattahoot season comes to an end. The Atlanta Crackers advanced to the SBL Championship along with the Gainesville Gold Diggers. And that was a very tough way for two professional teams in the city of Columbus who are known for reaching championship games. That was very tough for their seasons to end like that. And so if you're a Columbus sports fan, you bounce back, you're proud of the teams, and you move on to next year. But one of the most shocking and most emotional things that happened at the end of the broadcast, and I got a little emotional, Zach DeBozart said his goodbyes, which was completely shocking. I had Zach DeBozart on the podcast last week, and we were talking up to Columbus Chattahoots, and I was really excited about having him back on the podcast and talking River Dragons hockey. Well, he's not coming back next year, and we're losing one of the best play-by-play announcers I've ever heard. He's going on to bigger, better things, and I know that Ignite Sports and Scott Brand will find somebody to call River Dragons games, and they're going to search high and low, and they're going to pick the best guy for the job, but I don't think you could replace a Zach DeBozart. He was starting to become a superstar in this town, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck, and he is more than welcome to come on this podcast anytime and talk anything when it comes to sports, because he wasn't just a River Dragons play-by-play announcer and a Columbus Chattahoots play-by-play announcer. He was a sports icon in this city. Zach DeBozart knew sports, he loved sports, and he just loved getting on sports talk radio and talking sports. And he surely will be missed in this city, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck. Well, the Atlanta Braves did sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks thanks to a walk-off double by Austin Riley. Is he not the MVP of the league? I'm going to have Justin Dale on the show on Wednesday. We're going to talk everything Braves. They did not gain any ground on the New York Mets. The Mets just continue winning. Six straight games. So now the Braves are three back. We get ready for the trade deadline. Are the Braves going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? I think they're going to be buyers. I think that they're going to get another bat in their lineup. But the real question is, can the Braves sustain what they did last season? And do they have the bats to continue with that momentum going into the playoffs? Oh, well, I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan, as many people know. I am so glad that Deebo Samuel finally got his contract extension. 3 years, $71 million, $58 million guaranteed. And we can put to bed the whole Deebo Samuel wanting to get traded talk. Come on. He's the best 49ers wide receiver since Terrell Owens. When T.O. left the 49ers in 2004, the 49ers did not have any wide receivers who were even capable of making a Pro Bowl. I mean, the person that got the closest, probably Michael Crabtree, maybe Anquan Boldin. That is about it. A bunch of hits and misses when it came to wide receivers. Brandon Lloyd, yeah, he was okay. Rashad Woods, a complete bust. A.J. Jenkins, a complete bust. Arnez Battle. Isaac Bruce, way past his prime. Antonio Bryant. And the list continues to go on and on and on. And I started getting sick of it. Dante Pettis, it started getting old. So Deebo Samuel, he's a great wide receiver. And I think the 49ers have one of the best wide receiver cores in all of football. NFL training camp, getting ready. I cannot wait to see the Detroit Lions in Hard Knocks. The Atlanta Falcons, the talk during NFL training camp is that Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota both look good. Marcus Mariota has been named the starter, but I think Desmond Ridder can be a formidable backup and compete for the starting job. He's going to get some snaps, and you're going to see both quarterbacks in preseason. You may be blown away by Desmond Ridder. Anyway, I'm going to have Justin on the show on Wednesday. He's a big Atlanta Falcons fan. We'll talk about the Falcons training camp and their preseason game coming up against Detroit. I'm really hoping that Drake London pops and he becomes a Pro Bowl wide receiver. That would just be amazing. But they're saying that the Atlanta Falcons are one of the worst teams in the NFL. If that's true, then it doesn't matter who starts because they'll draft a quarterback in next year's draft. We will probably find out today whether or not Deshaun Watson will be suspended for the entire season. I think he's going to be suspended for 6 games. The Cleveland Browns are not going to make the playoffs this year. They're banking on Deshaun Watson actually becoming a difference maker next season, because this season is going to be a wash, and that's going to be a waste of a first-round draft pick. So the Houston Texans are going to have two amazing first-round draft picks, kind of like what the Indianapolis Colts did in 1991 when they had the first and the second overall pick, and they ended up getting Steve Entman and Quentin Coriat, and it didn't really work out for them. Both players were busts. I mean, there was so much sports over the weekend. I mean, but I got to say a melancholy sadness to Bill Russell, passed away at the age of 88. The greatest champion ever. 11 rings with the Boston Celtics. A 5-time MVP. A 2-time collegiate champion. And considered one of the best basketball players of all time. He was on those great Boston Celtics teams with John Havlicek, Bob Cousy, Sam Jones, just such great teams. I was watching that ESPN 30 for 30, the Lakers and Celtics, the best of enemies. I love just him out-dueling Wilt Chamberlain, because clearly Wilt Chamberlain was the better basketball player talent-wise, but he just didn't have the pieces around him. So Bill Russell, you know, he became later a head coach, an ambassador for the league. I mean, he's going to be missed. I mean, they're talking about him all over sports talk radio, and that's got to be tough. So I had Buckets on yesterday. That was an amazing episode. So Buckets texted me, Jonathan Shusky. He's the collegiate golfer that plays for Stephen F. Austin. Many of you in the Columbus area knew him as Buckets from his early days with Bobby Z on 95.7 and ESPN Radio, and Josh Pate. He texted me and asked, can we do the interview on Sunday? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we did the interview. I was like, okay, why not I just edit this? I'll publish this for Sunday. There's no written rule that I have to have a show Monday through Friday. So I published it on Sunday. It was such a great episode. You should check it out. And I'll probably have it on the radio station for Tuesday's episode as well. So I'm going to be all over the place this week. On Tuesday, I plan on having Tyler Crowder. It will be a second appearance on the show. He is the host of a podcast called Kicking It with Crowder. On Wednesday, I will have Justin Dale. And then on Thursday, I'm going to have Troup County High School coach Tanner Glisson. And then on Friday, I'm going to have Russell County High School baseball coach Tony Dimitri. And then on Saturday, I plan on having Gabe Reynolds. So yes, I have a full schedule going 7 days this week. I know, I stay busy. All right, we'll be back.
Yeah! Stick around.
Welcome back to the show. Just a reminder that you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key out of Noonan, Georgia. And we are brought to you by Ivy Park Sports Bar and Grill, Go Jump and Slide Inflatables, and Backwoods Barbecue. It's August 1st, and you know what that means. It's high school football season. I've got on the show WTVM sports director Jonathan Hoppe. Jonathan, it's a sad weekend. Both Columbus professional sports teams lost. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Richard, it is great to be here. August 1st, high school football practice underway. Some teams as we speak right now. It is sad, though. Summertime is winding down, but the one thing we have to look forward to, great high school football around here, great college football, and soon the NFL. This is one of my favorite times of year. We get back into the routine, and so many great storylines ahead of this season once again.
I am excited that high school football is really 18 days away. We kick off on that Thursday night. We'll get into that shortly, but you know, it's been a tough weekend for Columbus sports teams. The Columbus Lions fall to the Carolina Cobras 65-51 in the semifinal playoffs, and the Columbus Chattahoots lose to the Atlanta Crackers in 2 games. And now we turn the page and it's time to do high school football. But your thoughts on the professional teams this weekend, just not having the greatest of a weekend?
Well, it's unfortunate, especially with the Lions, the fact that they got so much wind in their sails when Mason Espinosa comes back at quarterback. He played in that game this weekend against the Cobras and just couldn't really put up the kind of numbers that we're used to seeing him put up in this Lions offense. But I think they just dealt with so much adversity, really from the moment that he announced he was stepping away right before training camp. They went through a number of quarterbacks. Some weird stuff happened. He comes back, but he's only really there for the games. That, to me, just wasn't going to be something that was going to lead to a championship. But Coach Jason Gibson did all he could to try to get there. So Lions a bit unfortunate. And then the Hoots, I was really surprised by that too. You know, they've been playing some really good baseball. They got game one of the series at Golden Park with their fans. And as you know, that is an unparalleled home field advantage in that league. Basically, no other team even has fans. And they drop that first game, and then they go up to Kennesaw State and lose. So yeah, both teams getting knocked out there. I was out of town for a wedding. Not the results I was expecting, for sure.
Well, now we got to turn the quarter. It's August 1st, which means it's high school football season. 18 days away. Jonathan, I am excited. I'm getting a lot of buzz on my Twitter page. So I had a little fun, and I was wondering if you wanted to play along with me to agree with my top 10 list. So this is controversial because some schools were like, how could you not put us in there? Okay, so Jonathan, so Alabama, I created the top 10 in the Chattahoochee Valley for Alabama. So no surprise, Central's number one. Would you agree? Absolutely. They made a huge state playoff run last year, but they lost to Thompson. They got the five-star transfer from Glenwood, A.J. Harris, Carmelo English, the four-star wide receiver. Coach Patrick Nix has just got a great program at Central. So I got Central number one. So we're going to go across. We're going to go Alabama, Georgia. So the number one team in Alabama, I picked Central. The number one team in Georgia, I picked Carver.
Right. The two teams last year that made it to state championships in our area. So I think you got to start there. Although I would say I think Central, both facing some adversity in terms of replacing players, but Central's got their coach back and a lot of new pieces. Carver, interesting now, first year under Pierre Coffey, who I think is a really good coach, but I think there's more question marks there, and I think there's more opportunity for another team in the area to overtake them.
I do think with Carver going down to 3A and new head coach Pierre Coffey, it's going to be a challenge because Thomasville went from 2A to 3A. Remember, Thomasville lost to Fitzgerald in the 2A state championship last year. That is going to be a big challenge for the Carver Tigers. So at number two over in Alabama, I've got Auburn. I think Auburn High School, a very talented program, followed by number three, I got Opelika. Number four, I got Glenwood. And then I'm a little biased, Jonathan, because I call games for Russell County. I put Russell County at number five. And this is where several fans from Chambers Academy got mad at me. I put Chambers Academy number six, and they reach out to me on Twitter and say, how could you rank Russell County ahead of us? I know Chambers Academy is a 2A program. They went 10-2 last year, but this is starting to get fun. And then I got the head football coach from Eufaula saying, well, why didn't you include us? We're part of the Chattahoochee Valley.
Listen, so to put Glenwood fourth on that list, so what's your thinking there?
I think that Glenwood is, and I really didn't rank my teams based on who's playing in AIHSA or who's 2A or who's – I rank my teams based on proximity, popularity, big games, and how well they're going to do in the state playoffs. So I got Callaway over on the Georgia side, number two, and we all know that Callaway has made it, won a state title in 2020, went to the Final Four last year. So, yeah, I'm having fun with my list, but – yeah, you're right, because with Smith Station, okay, so they're a 7A program. They only won two games last year, but I had them in my top 10 because I feel they're going to be better this year. But then Valley comes out and says, how could you not put us in the top 10?
Yeah, I think if I was doing the list, and it sounds like the way that you've done it might be a little bit different than your traditional top 10, factoring in a few other things in terms of path to the championship game, odds of winning a title. I can see how you would factor that in. If you were going solely based on, hey, these are the 10 best teams, and this is how I think it would play out if they all played each other, who would be the best, who would win the most games? Yeah, I think Valley definitely has a case, right? I mean, I think Valley is a team that has had some good years. Last year, not necessarily the greatest year for them, but now in a new region with some different teams, I think they're going to make a lot of noise. I do think Russell County is up there. I think this is a big year for Russell County, right? Last year, there were basically no expectations after winning not a single game the season prior. And now there are some expectations. And they lose a guy like DJ Epps, who's off at Troy now, doing some great things. Can't wait to watch him play. But it's going to be a challenge now for Dylan Griggs in year two, and he knows that. You know, the expectation is much higher. They've gotten a lot of stuff out of the way. Now they need to really lock in and try to win some games. So top five for them at the moment, you know, that might be a little high too, but then you look down the list and who would you put ahead of them? You know, that really becomes the question. So I think you're in the right ballpark.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up the Georgia ranking. So I have Carver number one, Callaway number two, LaGrange number three, Troup County number four. Now, you can flip-flop those teams.
Sure.
Troup County beat LaGrange last year, but LaGrange made it to the second round of the playoffs. The Troup County Tigers lost in the first round. I'm actually going to have the head football coach of Troup County, Tanner Glisson, on the show, and I'm hoping to get the LaGrange football coach. I'm going to be calling that LaGrange-Smith Station game on August the 18th, down at TC Britton Field, and I cannot wait for that. You got a 4A program like the Grangers from LaGrange taking on a 7A program from Alabama, which, by the way, Smith Station did beat Columbus 50-0 last year. I think you have strength on strength. It's going to be an exciting game. Let's talk about these border wars, because I think that it's really great that you have Callaway taking on Opelika, you got St. Ampicelli taking on Glenwood, and now Harris County taking on Russell County, and also LaGrange taking on Smith Station. What are you looking forward to the most about these border wars?
I would say just seeing how they stack up. You mentioned Smith Station and LaGrange. That one really catches my eye because it's a smaller school, a medium-sized school in Georgia versus a big 7A team in Alabama. And we heard Mike Glisson say last week, you know, 7A is one of the toughest regions in the Southeast. Nobody wants to schedule teams in that 7A region for out-of-state matchups to begin the year because they know just how good those teams are. They don't even want to play Smiths, a team that only won a couple of games last season. So how do they fare against a good LaGrange team? Because on paper, you'd think they should probably win the game, right? They're at home. They're a bigger school. There's a number of things going in their favor. But LaGrange is a good program, so that's a chance for Smiths to show, hey, the teams we just play are really good, and they're really, really good week in and week out. And they held their own last year, but they lost a bunch of close games. So can they come out and show that they can beat a team like LaGrange, who over the past few years is definitely on a higher tier than a Columbus-type team that just has not had a lot of success? So they beat Columbus 50-0. How do they do against LaGrange? It's a chance for us to see a team like Smith Station, not against that elite 7A competition that they're playing all but 2 weeks out of the year.
I cannot wait for that matchup. It's 18 days away. Before we preview week one, Jonathan, just wrapping up the top 10 in the Chattahoochee Valley, I got St. Ampicelli number 6, Harris County number 7, Brookstone number 8, Manchester number 9, and Chattahoochee County number 10.
That sounds pretty solid. I think Pacelli had a great season last year. How will they back that up? And then also Brookstone, they really didn't have a terrible season either, but now obviously Blair Harrison is gone. So I'm interested to see how the private schools sort of shake out in the new GIAA and sort of how all that scheduling works out. But that sounds pretty solid to me. And then Chatco too with new coach Ryan McKenzie now that Pierre Coffey has moved on to Carver. That would be something to watch, too. Chatco's had a lot of success You know, you think about Sly County down there as well. They've done some really strong things. Didn't have the success they were looking for in the postseason, but a number of players there as well. You got to watch out for Spencer. That's a team that I'm watching. Year two for them as they try to really go in the right direction under Joe Kegler. Boy, what a matchup that will be against Carver week two. And Carver will still be the favorite. They should be. They have every right to be. But I expect that to be a pretty close Heritage Bowl, whereas in the past you go into it just pretty much knowing it's going to be a blowout.
Oh, I'm going to keep my eye on the Spencer Green wave. They move down to 2A. Week one, they take on Greenville. And that is going to be an exciting matchup.
There are some great new matchups. I love the fact that it's not just all the Columbus teams in Region 2-4A. I think that really got tired last season, just about halfway through, and it's the same Carver versus Northside, Spencer versus Jordan. Just the same matchups week in and week out. And the teams would all play each other, and it just none of them had great seasons, and it just seemed it wasn't a great deal. Now we get some unique matchups. Now we get some different teams from our region coming to Columbus. So it's great for us to shine the spotlight on even more of these young men. I'm really excited about this new scheduling.
Jonathan, I always look forward to watching your Sports Overtime show. It just gives me all the exciting highlights. And then you get the opportunity to pick the high school game of the week. But I'd like to help you out because I had a Twitter poll. I had a Twitter poll. Which should be the high school game of the week for week one? And I only have four options. So right now, the leading vote getter is Opelika at Callaway, followed by Carver at Hardaway. You have Harris County and Troop County, and then Glenwood at St. Ann Pacelli. Out of those four teams, or if there's another matchup that's intriguing, and really we're basing this off of two regional teams, because I don't think you could put Hewitt-Trussville in Central as the high school game of the week, because Hewitt-Trussville's not from this area.
But you could.
You could, yeah.
It would really make a statement to open the season to do that. You know, I think you could make a case for maybe Central IMG later in the season.
Yes.
But in terms of to start, yeah, I think it would be definitely we're not considering doing that. But I think Carver Hardaway is, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's a Thursday night game.
It is. Now, I do have the Thursday night games. I know that you're going to be busy all high school football season. Thursday nights, Friday nights, and even Saturday afternoons. I mean, you got a four-team showdown on Saturday afternoon, week one. Lochapoca taking on Lafayette, and Notasalgula taking on Lynette.
Yeah, so we can't do the Thursday games just because our game of the week would need to be on Friday. But week one, you got some great matchups. And Opelika-Callaway, that's a game that we featured last year. That's a game that we featured a lot in the past, so that'll be in the mix. I think Troop Harris County is really intriguing. A new coach up at Harris County, that's always kind of a rivalry, 5A versus 4A. Pacelli Glenwood is fascinating to get the cross state line matchup between private schools. You know, Glenwood's got the new coach and storylines really everywhere you turn. But yeah, I would say you hit it on the head. Those four games stick out to me. And then Thursday too. I mean, that is a great opening Thursday to get Smiths, LaGrange, Shaw, Marion County, Hardaway, Carver, and then Chambers, Lee Scott up in Lafayette. So that's a lot to look forward to on week zero, as they would call it.
Also, some of the other notable matchups, we did talk about Hewitt-Trussville at Central, the two top five programs in the state of Alabama for 7A. You got Hoover, another top five program, taking on Auburn. Just incredible matchups. And then you also have Bremen taking on Heard County, Manchester, Bowdoin, Marion County taking on Shaw, you mentioned, Cherokee Christian is taking on Calvary Christian. What about Real Town and Tallahassee? I mean, that's also going to be a Thursday night game. And then this is where if Valley wants to be in my rankings, Jonathan, they got a big test on the road up in Roanoke, Alabama against Hanley. If they win that game, they are going to be in my top 10.
Yeah, where is Lynette in your top 10, by the way?
Oh, I think I had Lynette. I had Lynette as number 8.
Gotta respect Clifford Story and what he's done. Now, they haven't gone too far lately, but they do have two recent state titles, and you know they're looking for more. I think Hanley knocked them out last year.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hanley just barely cracked my top 10. I had to redo it. I mean, so I actually created a top 20. So all those teams on the outskirts looking in, you know how like on these college football rankings, you have the receiving votes. So if like, if Smith Station loses to LaGrange, if Valley beats Hanley, I'm putting Valley in my top 10.
Yeah, they're certainly knocking on the door, you would say.
Man, Jonathan, I would love for you to get back on the show because we got week two mashups that I'm getting excited about. I was kind of doing my homework. I was kind of sneak peeking at week two and week three. Week three is a very interesting week because it's Labor Day weekend. That's where you have a lot of your teams that travel. They'll actually go further out of the region. And so you have a lot more games because you don't have a whole lot of regional games during Labor Day weekend.
That's where you get Opelika Lee, a new 7A matchup. That was the one that went down to the wire last year in 6A. So, yeah, it's funny to look at the schedule as it goes on, and you try to figure out what the big games are going to be. But then there's always those surprise teams, right? Like Russell County last year, a team that you cover frequently, they were a surprise team, and you've got to – cover the teams that deserve the attention.
Right now in Columbus, we have two high school venues that are open for business, Kinnett Stadium and A.J. McClung Memorial Stadium. But soon, Otis Spencer Stadium will be a high school venue. The home team is mainly going to be Spencer, probably Kendrick. I could see Carver playing home games there. But what do you think that atmosphere is going to be like when Otis Spencer Stadium is going to be ready?
I think it'll be great. You know, I had the opportunity to be down there for the ribbon cutting. I've seen some photos. I actually have not been back there to see the progress, but I've seen the photos of it, and it looks beautiful. It's going to be large. It's going to be new. And the best thing for Columbus is it's in South Columbus, and it's going to connect this city from all different points now, and Memorial, Kinnett, kind of close to each other up near the main part of town. So to get down there, too, I think it's going to make the travel easier for a lot of those fans. And it's just going to bring this city together. And I think that's one of the main things they were trying to do with this. And the Spencer Green Wave, they've got some great fans. And you know they are going to pack that place out. It'll become the quasi-home stadium for them, much like Northside has Kinnett and Carver plays at Memorial. So that's going to be really fun to see. There'll be some track events there as well, a big multi-purpose facility.
Oh, I cannot wait. Jonathan, as always, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and being a guest on the podcast. High school football, 18 days away. I know you are going to be busy right when we get into high school football season, and I look forward to watching your Sports Overtime show Friday night on WTVM.
All right, Richard, thank you. We'll see you out there.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Want to thank all my listeners that have downloaded and subscribed. And don't forget that I will have another show every week. I'll have a special high school football show, having rankings, breaking down the matchups, and interviewing coaches and players. I hope everybody has a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. We invite you to download and subscribe. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Google Cast, Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Thanks for listening. Feel free to share with your friends and family. This has been The Sports Beat with your host, Richard Holdridge. Produced in Columbus, Georgia. Extra production provided by J.D. Matthews. All opinions stated herein are those of the host and do not represent the opinions of Anchor Podcasts. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.